Because of my passion for online entrepreneurship and in believing the impact we can make if we can all discover our purpose and do what we love, the Passion and Purpose podcast was born. I hope to share more inspiring adventures with you, along with the people who have been there and done that. Welcome to the Passion and Purpose, everyone. And here we are again for another exciting episode with another special guest, Mr. Nuno Ferreira. Well, let me tell you a little bit more about Nuno. He is a historian that used to do tours until COVID-19 hits in March 2020. He traveled all over Portugal, Europe, and North Africa, showing the best of what it has to offer. In Portugal, he specializes in food tours, and because of that, he will be launching an online course about the history of Portuguese food. I can't wait to see that. The pandemic was very complicated for him in 2020, and they were almost without apartment, without food. And of course, he undergone denial, depression, and that was in November 2020. But now he was able to bounce back. He's got a full-time job and is already creating or preparing for the online course about the history of Portuguese gastronomy. I can't wait for him to tell us more about the term gastronomy, because it was the first time I heard about it when we first met. I think it was a few weeks ago. So please allow me to introduce you once again, Mr. Nuno Ferreira from Portugal. Hi, Nuno. Good morning
to
you. Hi,
Rochelle. Good morning to you too, to you, and good afternoon. Of course, we have the schedule difference over here. Here it's 8 a.m. So thank you so much for the opportunity to share a little bit of my life, of my country, and of the struggling that we are all facing all over the world due to coronavirus. Like you said, I'm 44 years old and an historian. And due to that, my passion is history, as you can imagine. And I did several things along towards my life, several jobs, until a few years ago I decided to embrace the career in tourism. It was the best way. Fortunately, I was having lots of success, because when we do what we have passion for, it's very different, and we attract what we want to attract. My main advice for all of you is for you to do what you love. I know that sometimes it's not easy. I've been there. But it will come around. If it's destined for you, it will come around. And everything was going fine, like you said, and 2020 was going to be the best year of my life. Financially speaking, I was going to get my financial freedom. And of course, what happened was all the other way around. It, instead of being the best year of my life, it turned out to be the worst year of my life. With the cherry on top of the cake, like I always say, having COVID a little bit without knowing how, because me and my wife, we always took our cautions. We almost didn't leave the house. In November, we were caught in the middle of the second wave. We are now in the third wave in Portugal. And for me, it was very light, not that much. But for her, it was not. Fortunately, she didn't get to be hospitalized or intubed. So at least that was good. But it was truly complicated. And sometimes, even today, we feel some sequels, although almost done. We don't have almost anything. I sometimes feel slight headaches, which I never had before until I got COVID in my life. And yes, I did not know what was a headache. And some stabbing in the chest that is already gone. And she's better also. So my advice to you, please try not to get COVID, okay? I know it's difficult, but try not to. It's not a flu, okay? But after that, as you said, after that horrible year that I was able to pass with the help of my wife, with the help of my mother-in-law, with the help of my parents, my friends, our friends, it would not have been possible to go through without their help. We just didn't went worse because our families and friends were able to help us financially. We were that lucky, so we didn't starve, we didn't get without the apartment, although we had to buy one in the middle of the pandemic. So you can imagine how challenging that was. Sorry. And well, but it's done. And we are alive. And we are stronger. So now, projects for the future. I hope to maintain the full-time job. If there's one thing that I learned is that it's very nice to be an entrepreneur and it's very nice to be a businessman. But if we don't have a fund, let's put it this way, that allows us to live for 3 years, which is almost impossible, as you know. And we need to have another kind of work that allows us to do the rest. That's what I'm doing. I'm moving forward. And of course, due to COVID, I was out of a job, and she was also. We were not entitled to receive any kind of support. If we were in a company, it would be a different subject, different issue. So right now, like you said, I'm turning around, going back to be a little bit of what I was. And I always saw the glass half full, not half empty. And I always said that I did not have time to get sick or depressed. So that is coming around again, but without forgetting always what I've been through last year.
Wow.
Much more humble and much less cocky. And I thought I knew it all and everything. It's part of our life, but I don't. And now I'm doing a full-time job, like you said, in the IT area. In Portugal, we are all, most of us, working from home. Portuguese government approved yesterday a bill that decides that the home office is mandatory in Portugal until the end of the year due to the pandemic. So it will be here to stay eventually. And at the same time, I'm developing several personal projects. Tourism, we have no idea what's going to happen. We are speaking in between each other. But it's a little bit in the dark, with no perspectives. The only thing that we are trying to do something is internal market for Portuguese, because all over the world and in Europe, especially inside the European Union, the citizens of each country are advised not to travel unless it's strictly necessary, especially
with
the vaccination.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Can you tell me about that project, Nuno? Because when we first met, you were talking about gastronomy, and I was very curious about the term. I looked it up, and now I understand what it is. But maybe some of our viewers or listeners don't know what gastronomy is. Can you please tell us more about it?
Gastronomy is a more fancy way, let's put it this way, to say food. And it's also the subject. Like we have history, we have archaeology, we have, it's like a little bit the discipline, but it's a more, it's a different way, a different word, a synonym for food, okay? And in Portuguese is gastronomia, and I'm launching, it's hard work, the digital, as you know, much better than I do, because we all think that digital is instant money, but it's not. And it's hard working after it pays off, I'm sure. If we have the right idea and the right product with the right support. So what I'm doing is that I'm creating an online course and that is destined to go through all over the world. Why? Because, like you said, I specialized in food tours. I'm a tourism professional. And I did that because I have a history degree, okay? And that allowed me to work in the area. And so I turned up to enjoy very, very much the history of Portuguese food.
Yeah, can you please tell us the difference, not the difference, the relationship of Portuguese history and food, because I think most people need to know more about that. They need to be more educated in terms of Portugal's history and food. Why are they related?
Well, I truly believe that it is not only in Portugal, but all over the world, but especially in Portugal, because we value a lot our food. You know, we are a very small country, only with 10 million people, but we did extraordinary things all over the world, as you all know. We did the Discovery Age, for example. We went there, to the Philippines.
Yes.
Fernando Magalhães, not under Portugal, under Spain. He was killed there, but he was Portuguese. And we were the first Europeans to reach Macau and China and Japan. So we are always traveling all over the world due to main endemic problems that we have here in the country, like scarcity of the cereals, of gold, iron, all that. It's poor soil, but although we have some farming, and also now we used to have wolframium, and we used to have gold and iron. Now we discover huge reserves of lithium, and so we believe that there is oil, but we're not sure. So it's not yet sustainable to be explored, and I'm glad, because we depend a lot on tourism and in the Atlantic shore. So it's preferable to have tourism than to have oil platforms, I believe. And so it is very important for us, the food. Why? Because we've been through lots of difficulties, especially until the 1970s, 80s, more or less, because we had 50 years of dictatorship. Although we are a small country, it's enough to go, imagine, 10 miles away from Lisbon, the capital, and you find a different landscape, different culture, and different food. So we have lots of variety of food. Of course, you all know us from the catfish. I can't imagine bacalhau. We have more than 400 ways to cook catfish.
Wow, the catfish.
We eat a lot. Cod. Not catfish, cod.
Oh, cold fish.
Cod. C-O-D.
Codfish.
Yes.
Oh.
And we also have bread. It's very important. The wine, of course. Porto wine is the most known. We have a tremendous amount and variety of food. Enchidos, also, I believe that's not possible. Sometimes it's not possible to find a translation. And I truly believe that if we study the history of food, we can find the cultural path of the country, and we can find also the evolution of the people and the country. So instead of speaking only about history, that sometimes it's a little bit boring, not for historians.
For some. I used to hate history when I was in high school.
It's normal. But for most people, for us it's a passion, but for most people it is not, and I understand.
Yeah.
So what I started doing was not speak much for 10 minutes, and after I would start talking about a little bit about the tradition, the culture, and also the food, and people enjoyed.
Yeah, especially if they're already eating, you know.
That's the thing. In the food tours, they are able to eat a little bit of chorizo, a little bit of vanilla, a little bit, you know, of cod, all those things. And of course, they enjoy it very much. My idea is to pass those tours to digital, once we don't know when we are going to do the tours again. Of course, I'm aware that this kind of tours, we miss the smell, we miss the flavor, we miss all that. But at least you will be able to get an idea of the riches of the history of the food in Portugal, of the value that we give towards it. And we eat a lot. I don't know if you are aware of that.
I do eat a lot too.
But you eat a lot. And we eat everything.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yes. And we like to respect food very, very much. And so that's why I believe that food is an essential part of Portugal. Not only Portugal, but of each country. And I believe that's it. And I hope to be able to transmit to you in the course, to be able to transform a little bit the way that you see Portugal and the way that you see the food itself after. I'm not a chef, okay? Not at all. I'm just an historian that loves to eat and loves to study food. In Portugal, we have several important food types of food, but mainly cod, pig. And we eat everything from the pig. It was very important to support entire families, because from the pig, it's possible for you to eat every single part of it. And it gives them variety and access to animal protein, like the cod. Cod was for many years the only supplement of animal protein that poor people used to have in Portugal. I don't know if you're aware of, but 80% of cod is protein. So it's a very cheap way to get animal protein. It used to be cheaper. Now it's getting more expensive, but still cheap for us. We eat an average of one dish of codfish a week. So especially, it's normal for us.
I looked it up.
I looked it up.
Yeah, I found it. And I don't think I've seen this one here in the Philippines. But if we have, you know, codfish here, I think it would be expensive. I really haven't seen anything like this before.
It is expensive. Well, outside Portugal, not in Portugal. We import a lot of cod now. Because it's not, well, we always did it. We don't have it on our shores, as you can imagine. So, but that will be for the course. I hope I at least make you a little bit more curious about the history of cod, for example. It would give me the possibility to do only a course about the history of cod. And I hope to find much of the people that are watching us and of your audience to be able to join me in the course of history of Portuguese gastronomy. And
yes.
Who knows, as soon as this is over, you'll be able to travel here. You know,
I would love that.
You included. You are invited, by the way.
Thank you.
And I hope, I used to work especially with North Americans, but also received some customers from Asia, and especially Philippines and Singapore and China, of course. But let's see what it will happen in the future. But the course will be there. It will be always available for you. And the good thing about this is that, of course, when I have a class, I can teach live. The classes will not be recorded due to privacy issues, but you can all watch live. We have the different schedule, but everything is manageable. But if you don't want, you will receive only the presentation, and you can learn from it. And I can give you a receipt or two about each dish that we have, about each food also. So, but I believe it can be difficult to find some ingredients for you.
Yeah. Well, Nunu, can you tell us who are the people that might, you know, be interested in your course? Because I was thinking, like, other historians, you know, from other countries that are also interested in food. Maybe they wanted to do similar things, the same thing that you're doing, you know, tell the people about the history of their country through food or through gastronomy. Is that something that you're also thinking about?
Yes, I'm thinking about, of course, the general public, people that might be interested. But my main focus here is, of course, colleagues all over the world. That because the course will be taught in English and in Portuguese. And I'm thinking about historians that are doing some research. I'm going to include a service that will be coaching private to each person, for example, how to do gastronomy tours or how to research a specific type of food, for example. And I can help you also with that, besides the course, besides the general course. And of course, that I think that my colleagues in tourism and also the owners of restaurants, they could be interested.
Yeah, restaurant owners.
And I know that most of them, they know a lot of the history of food, but there are some small details, some small curiosities that they might not know, because this, I think it involves lots of research and but I like it very much. And it's easy when we like things.
Yeah.
So that's the main target are the owners of the restaurants, the hotels, the chefs, professionals from tourism. Those are the main, and historians, of course. Those are the main public targets that I think it would be possible. And of course, one thing leads to the other. And if they are not interested in Portuguese food itself, they can hire me to research on other subject related with the history of food.
Wow, amazing. In fact, I'm already, imagining the kind of business model that you have and how, people in the food industry can be interested about that. Well, how do you think you can bring one person to the history? How can you make them travel through time, through the course, or through food, through the course that you will be offering?
Well, first of all, imagination. And in tourism, we live a lot from imagination. I always have the habit of showing people, for example, a very practical idea that I used to do before COVID was to, when I used to walk along Lisbon, I always brought with me some pictures or some videos. How Lisbon was before the earthquake of 1755, for example.
Wow.
Or how Lisbon was in the 1940s. And I did that all over the country. And of course, through food, I'm going to do the same. But the most important thing is that I'm going to try to make them feel the same passion as I do. I don't know if I'm speaking with passion. I believe so.
Yes, you
tell
are.
Me. If we speak with passion about something, it will be not only much easier, but I believe that the people, like you said, they easily apprehend what we are saying, and they easily will get involved and more curious and more transformable, let's put it this way, to what we are teaching. And don't forget, a teacher is not a teacher, is an internal student. That is my main motto. And I learned this from a person, very important one for me. She's also a teacher. And her name is Kavita, and she's from India. And I learned that from her. So I guess she's totally right. A teacher is an internal student, and that's my main goal. I want to be learning all the time. And with our students, we learn a lot and we improve a lot. That's the way that I try, like I did with my customers in tourism, the same.
Yes,
that's why I believe it is possible to bring, although it's digital, it will not be the same as in person. But going through all this after, I hope to be able to include some of you to come to Portugal and experience what I'm teaching. That's my main goal, for you to come to Portugal, and if possible, in a very humble way, for me to be somehow an ambassador of Portugal, about especially of his food.
Amazing. Remember I told you earlier that I used to hate history. It was only when I was in, I think, my early or late 20s that I started appreciating history. Of course, the Philippines, for example, the history of Philippines, the history of other countries, and how the countries came to be. It was because of visualization. But what you offer is not just visualization, because you said you normally get take pictures with you, pictures of Lisbon, for example, in 1945, in 1970s, or in whichever year you have, and then you show them to your customers, you show them to the clients. And what's most amazing is that you have the food, you can bring them back to time with the taste, with the five senses, they can just not see it. They can just not, you know, listen to, you know, to the waves of the water or whatever. They can still taste it. You know, they have that privilege. Now, considering the difference in time, for example, codfish that was cooked in 1920s versus codfish cooked using a whatever new technology, for example, in 2021, what would be the difference? Or is there other restaurants in your country that are cooking the old-fashioned way that, you know, your clients can still taste from?
Yes, the good thing about codfish is that everything is very simple. But of course, we have our Michelin chefs, which are very, very good. I don't know if you heard about it, but I don't want to be mistaken. Please let me know if somebody watching this after, let me know if I'm mistaken, but I believe I'm not. I think you all know Gordon Ramsay, right?
Oh, yes. He's Portuguese?
No, he's from United Kingdom.
Oh, yeah.
But he traveled all over the world, and he said that one of the most difficult foods for him to cook was the Portuguese. Because of the flavors, because of the importance that we give to it. And it's very, very complicated indeed. Myself, I don't cook that much. I'm going to be honest with you. But so for that, for example, in the 1920s and 2020, it used to be completely different now. But for that, I can tell you more during the course. But now I can tell you that we have the high cuisine, like in most countries. And we have very known chefs, José Avilés or Lubomir Stanisic. I don't know if you know
them. I don't know them. I don't know them.
Don't worry. I think some people research them. And Chef Paulo also is all, they are all from Portugal. And they are all very big references for us. And they can tell you about the modern ways of cooking codfish and the old ways of cooking codfish. But the main target of the course is for you to know the differences, but also for you to know the history behind it. And of course, you have huge differences. But in every single Portuguese home, the cooking is more or less the same. We don't... We make up, but not that much. Not that much. We like to be genuine. And we don't have time, like most families throughout the day. We don't have the time in modern life. So, and one thing that we value a lot and that we miss a lot is going to the restaurants. For us, it's normal. I don't know how it is in Philippines. I know that in most cases around the world, it's very, very expensive to eat in the restaurants, but not here. And we miss a lot. Here, it would be possible to eat for 10 euros an entire meal in a restaurant, sometimes even less. And it used to be normal for us to go at least once a week to have dinner with friends, with family, in restaurants. So we also miss a lot of that. And struggling. So I believe, I don't know if the restaurants there are open, but not here. Also, but the owners of the restaurants, like I told you, they are one of the main targets. And concerning the differences, I advise you. I don't want to open that much, so I advise you to come to reach me, and I will try to do my best and teach you the little that I know, at least for you to get curious.
And I am already curious.
And you will see, for example, that cod fishing. It was not at all an easy task, but you learned that from the course.
All right, thank you so much, Nuno. Is there a process, for example, that you wanted to share to everyone that would make them, you know, a little bit curious about what would be in your course? Like, what is the process that you will walk them through so that they will appreciate gastronomy and history at the same time?
Well, I'm structuring the course in 10 classes. Of course, I will be filming the classes for those but only me speaking with the presentation. Okay. I'll do that for those that don't have the time to come and assist to the classes, different schedule, life itself, whatever the motive. And I'll organize the general course in 10 classes, one each week in the end, and one product in each class. That's what I'm doing. And it will be some surprises. I'm going to send, of course, to all of you the PDF with the presentation itself and a little bit of receipt or one or two. And in the end, if you want, I will take you virtually, take you to a place where I used to end my food tours in Lisbon.
That's what I've been waiting for.
it's a small surprise. It's not a surprise anymore. But it will be, I hope this will be possible as soon as our lockdown ends. And they are predicting for the restaurants to reopen on 5th of May. So let's see. And this place, it's very, very typical. It's not easy to find already. It is in Lisbon, in an historical quarter of Lisbon. And I'm sure that you will like the way we are going to end the course. And nice. I hope to see you soon, including you, Rochelle, in the course.
I really hope so, because Portugal is on the other side of the world. Well, let's talk about innovation, Nuno. I know that innovation and resilience, I wanted to talk about that because a lot of people were hit with the pandemic. A lot of people lose their jobs, their business were affected. How did you turn things around? You know, especially when you were undergoing, you said almost, you know, depression, almost no food and no apartment. How did you turn things around that has something to do with resilience and innovation?
Well, I was lucky to be able to count in my family. So I didn't went through those things. That's why it was almost. Fortunately, from almost to reality for me was a big distance. Okay. I want you to be aware of that due to my family and my wife's family. But many of my colleagues, they were not the lucky that I was. So it's very complicated when you see everything around you collapsing at the same time. And you are the one that is best, but not the perfect way as it would be on a normal standard. And it is also very complicated when you used to have a very good quality of in your life. So going from there to scratch to zero, it's complicated. And that's what happened to many people all over the world, and not only in Portugal, but around the world, in specific sectors of the economy, that tourism, restaurants, culture, shows, entertainment, events, all that collapsed. And so it is complicated at first. After what I did, it was not conscious. You don't have the conscience at the time. But how did I turn around? I turned around because I was forced to do so by my father, by my wife. And without them, it would not have been possible to go through. Now, what I'm doing right now is that I discovered the thing, I don't know if you know, that is pranic healing. I started doing the Twin Hearts meditation on a regular basis from creative master Chokok Sway. They are from Philippines originally, and because I saw him, I saw one of the main masters in an online event of Tony Robbins. This one, I believe you know about it.
Yeah.
And he was there. This was in January. And it was Master Co. I advise you all to take a look, masterco.org. He has a meditation there, Anchored Light, and pranic healing. And the pranic, I'm skeptical. I'm not cynic, but I'm skeptical. I need proof because I'm an historian. And believe me that I'm skeptical, but the reality is that it is helping me and I'm embracing it. And now, of course, with the full-time job, being in the project, and with this that I'm doing concerning the pranic healing, my master, Kavita, she's the one that I spoke about it before. She's from India. And you'll find her on Facebook and online also. It's very easy. And it is truly helping me. And I advise you all to do this. But my main advice to you is please keep your mind busy as much as possible. That was my main problem last year. Without our mind, our brain is an amazing machine and it attracts everything, good or bad, that you think about it. That is true.
Yeah, especially if you're not doing anything.
Yes. And you were talking about innovation and resilience. Those are probably the two main characteristics that an entrepreneur has, innovation and resilience. I have them both. I don't like to be in the same project that for too long. I need to innovate. I need to have freedom, to have all that, that I think you all entrepreneurs know what I'm speaking about, but it's difficult sometimes to put it in words. And resilience. If there is one thing that last year showed us all, and COVID is still showing us, is that or you adapt, or you have resilience, or you don't survive. So sometimes we need to give two steps back so that we can move forward three in the future. And that's my main lesson from what happened last year. And I decided this year I will not go back to the pattern that I was last year, because it's very easy to be negative all the time.
Yes.
And difficult to be positive in these days with everything around us going down and collapsing. But we need to keep focus and we need to move forward and we need to find a way to get the money to pay the bills and move on.
That's
even
right.
If you have to work on a company, but right now you have no idea how grateful I am for having a job. It might not be lots of money, but who cares? It allows me to be useful. It allows me to pay the bills.
Keeps you busy.
That makes me busy, exactly.
Yeah.
So innovation and resilience, do not miss that. Even if you are working on behalf and you can still be resilient and innovative in the right company as an employee. So even if you work on a company and you have these two characteristics, you are still an entrepreneur if you have those two. So don't worry. It's not the title. It's the way you act and the way you think.
The way that you think. Yes, that's right. I agree. I so agree. In fact, if we're here in COVID, I think everybody was at the bottom. So I think we don't have any choice but to go up.
Exactly.
It's the only way we're going, go up. So we have to go to get back up, turn things around, and hope that, you know, things will get better. If we have, you know, friends that thinks alike, you know, like-minded people that supports us, our family and friends, I believe that we can all, you know, bounce back from whatever situation we were in like a year ago. And I think this COVID, if there's one good thing that COVID has brought us, is that it united the people globally. We have the same situation that we can all relate from. There's no, you know, there's no Chinese versus English, Indian versus Filipino, Portuguese versus Japanese or whatever. There's no like racial differences anymore because we're all hit. We've all suffered. And somehow we are still we're still feeling the effect of COVID because it's still here, you know. Some has undergone second wave, third wave. Right now the Philippines is on its second wave. And we're all trying to recuperate from the situation. But I think it brought humanity together in the whole world. I think it's healing on its own. The traffic, you said earlier, if there's one thing that COVID, you know, brought here, there's one good thing that COVID brought is that there's no traffic or lesser traffic. That means lesser pollution. No, so I hope that we'll all come together and find a way to get back up, bounce back, you know, pull each other upwards so yes. that we can all, you know, finally become a better version of ourselves after COVID, not undergoing depression.
Yes, and one good thing is that it rose up about the technology. And without COVID, I never even went to the event of Tony Robbins, in which I met your colleague. And thank you very much to him for reaching us. I want to thank him publicly, because without him, it would not be possible for me to be speaking with you here. I hope to see him every once in a while. And without COVID, I will not be here doing the podcast with you. And probably I will not be thinking about to putting up together a course about the history of Portuguese.
I'm so happy.
So I know it's difficult, but sometimes you think that's not the positive side of a horrible thing, especially if you lost. It was not my case, fortunately. And none of them got COVID, only me in the family, fortunately. I'm happy with that. But many of my friends, many people, lots of people lost their relatives, their friends.
Oh, so sad.
And I know it's complicated to see the positive side of this.
Mm-hmm.
But with time, we'll manage to endure.
Yeah, we don't have any choice anyway. We have to keep moving
exactly.
forward. Whatever happens, you know, with or without some family members around, you know, those people that have been affected by COVID, we don't have any choice but to keep moving forward. Whether we like it or not, the sun will keep on going up every day, right? The sun will keep on rising. And
exactly.
we don't have a choice but to rise with it, right?
Exactly. We need to.
Yes, that's right. Do you have anything, aside from the course that you are going to, by the way, when would that be coming out? Maybe they might want to ask.
I'm thinking about launching it in May, the 1st of May. I'm thinking about that.
Let's do it.
I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea, right? If you have something in mind, if you have a business that you've been wanting to do for quite some time, I think this is the best time to do it, especially when some people are still hibernating. Or
exactly.
Yeah, right? Especially when some businesses are still, you know, down. I think it's time to slowly, you know, put up your own ideas, make them into reality. All right, Nunu, I'm so excited about your new course. Is there anything else that, you know, you wanted to invite everybody else from? Let's say a new book perhaps coming out or something else?
Well, I hope to be able to share some things with you, but at the moment I'm focusing, you know, entrepreneur is focusing, so I'm focusing with the deadline, and it is hard work, trust me, and I'm focusing on finishing all the recorded classes, all the material that I'm going to send it to you, the course, of course I'm going to have a website, I'm going to be on a platform, I'm going to do all that. And I'm going to have a monthly academy. I believe that's the main reason also. After the course, you can be enlisted with a fee, a monthly fee, and you can have access to things that it would not be possible for you to have otherwise. I'm going to call something like this, academy or club, something like that. It's still being thought over. And I believe it will be very interesting. It's a way for you to keep in touch with everything that it's going to be, research, innovation, gourmet food, the food of our grandparents, which are still in our memory, all that. And small curiosities about statistics of food in Portugal, about some histories and some legends that we have them a lot. About that also, the relation of food with religion in Portugal, you know, religion, Catholic, religion is very, very important for us. And so I think people like it. I think people like it. An ebook or a PDF, the way you want to put it, will be sent monthly for those people that join the club, of course.
All right, thank you so much. And I am very, very thankful that you have, you know, you said yes to my invitation to be part of the Passion and Purpose podcast. And I hope that maybe a year from now, we can already, you know, see your course thriving and your group, hopefully, your monthly subscriptions, your group thriving. All right. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening in or watching our Passion and Purpose podcast, either in our video or in our podcast, or what do you call it, audio version. All right. And hopefully you can catch us next Thursday for another inspiring adventures here at the Passion and Purpose podcast. Bye, everyone. Thank you for listening to the Passion and Purpose podcast. Join us next week for another inspiring adventures.